Right. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord with you, my brothers and sisters. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. You and I, we could be in a hospital somewhere. We could be in a jail cell somewhere. We could be in a graveyard somewhere. But we're here. Amen. Oh, glory. God is good to us. I was praying in the, that's right, Brother Larry, always. I was praying in the Holy Ghost, all I know is the Spirit of God said, remind my children about walking in the way. And the key to being able to walk in the way is simply obedience. Obedience. And so, you know, the Bible says to obey is better than sacrifice. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep, you'll obey, you'll follow my commandments. And so in following the commandments of the Lord is where you stay in grace. If we're not careful, we try to abuse grace. And the moment that you and I stop obeying the word of God, we step out of grace, whether we want to admit it or not. And so, but that's not what all that's about. I just said that because the Lord gave me three W's. And we're going to look, we're going to read our text out of the New Testament. And then we're going to go to Psalms. And then back to the New Testament. We're going to look at some things in these three W's. You and I, as we're walking in the way, we're walking in Jesus, we need to be in that place, in that position where, how many of you are you waiting on something? You know, God's promised you something. There's a promise in this Bible, but you're waiting. Well, we're going to talk about that, how you can wait on the Lord in the way. But while you're waiting on Him, if you're not careful, the devil will put things in your path, in my path, to get us to wander. Not W-O-N-D-R, but W-A-N-D-R, wander away from the path. And those things are avenues for the devil to try to take us out of God's best for us and try to hinder us from fulfilling what He would have for us. And then thirdly, we're going to look at how the devil can't stand it because you don't work for your salvation, but you work for the Lord. After you get saved, the Word of God comes inside of you and you want to do some things. And so the devil wants to hinder those works. So we're going to look at those three things tonight, those three W's, to make sure that we're in obedience. Amen. So let's look at John chapter 14, very familiar verse of Scripture. And then let's go to Acts chapter 9 to understand a little bit about the way. So John chapter 14, the Gospel of John, verse number 1. Let me know when you're there. Amen. John 14 and 1, out of the mouth of Jesus, He says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't you be anxious about anything. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. You know, there are many residences, many, many abodes in the place of the Lord. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Just think about it. Jesus has a place with you in mind. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? Just for you, because you like a different color than I do. You like a different temperature than I do. You like a different humidity than I do. You like different things. But God knows what you like. He's making it for you. Amen. Isn't that special? He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Say, Jesus is coming back.
Jesus is coming back.
I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way. Mark that down in your mind's eye. The way you know. Verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Verse 6. You know this scripture, very famous scripture. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Okay, turn over to Acts 9 real quick. Let's just read the first two verses. In Acts 9 and 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, mark that down in your mind's eye, highlight it in your Bible app, in your Bible, if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua Messiah, Jesus the Christ, to the best of our ability, Lord, we're going to listen to you. Each one of us here, we're here because we love you and we love one another. We want to be in the way and we want to walk in this perfect place, this key of obedience. So I asked you right now that you encourage every person under the sound of my voice. I feel an excitement in my spirit, because I know there's at least one person here tonight that you're going to do something in their life. You're going to give them a word that's going to encourage them and change their situation, because you're the God that is more than enough. So we humbly wait on you. We yield to you. We trust you. So right now we say, we decree that we have eyes to see and ears to hear by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and we thank you for it. So let us bless you as you bless us with the truth of your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and we all say,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right, so aren't you glad tonight that your Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, he brought the words from the Father. He brought the words from heaven, and he brought the vision, the plan, the will of the Father from heaven to earth. And then he gives us some insight about what's being prepared for you. Can you imagine right now tonight, there is some work going on in that abode, that eternal abode, that place in quote unquote heaven. But you and I, we know and we recognize tonight that we're seated in heavenly places. And then we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings from the heavenlies. That's already ours. So you and I, that is an eternal abode, an eternal resting place, but we have access to it tonight.
Right.
So whatever God is doing for us, what he has in his heart for us, it's in your residence, in your abode in Jesus, in my abode in Jesus. And so the only way the devil can keep us from coming to the fruition of what God has said, what he has planned, is if he can get us out of the way. And so the key for you and I to stand in the way is knowing that way Jesus has mapped it out. He has pathed it out for us. And this word way, it's hudos in the Greek, and it means a lifestyle of progress. Come on, you're progressing. We talked about this morning that as you walk in that light, that your path, because you've been made righteous by Jesus, you've been justified, it's getting brighter and brighter and brighter. So you're progressing. And so the devil's going to do little things to try to get us out of that progression, because he cannot stand God's blessing on your life. Because God, as God blesses you, you bless other people. And the devil's stingy. He's hateful. He's mean. He's a thief that likes to steal, kill, and destroy. So notice here in Acts, what is here, Saul, before he gets converted and becomes the apostle of grace, he's in a place, in a position where he doesn't understand what God is doing through his son Jesus, because he's caught up under the old law. He's caught up in all the old ways of life. And so it's an example for you and I. We may know this Bible, but we can't know it in an old way. I can't rest on yesterday's manna. I can't live on that. I can't live on yesterday's revelation. It's so sad to me, and I'm not being negative, but you sit in a lot of church services and people have a testimony, but their testimony is what Jesus done 20 years ago. Thank God for what he done 20 years ago, but I want to know what he done today, don't you? Because he's a God that is active in your life and that is active in my life. And so I need to see him working, and I need to know that he has something more for me. So here's Saul here. He's in this position where he don't understand that God is moving from the law to grace. Well, tonight, you and I, because of the grace of God, we've got faith in the Lord. We're saved. Amen. We're born again. We have this relationship. And so as we're walking in this way, the devil's going to do things in your life and in my life to try to get us out of obedience.
Right.
So once again, as I was praying in the Spirit, the Lord said, make sure my children know that the key of staying in the way is simply obedience. And so what I love about it is, if God knows what he's making in that abode for me, and he does, what he's making in that abode for you, then he knows the word that I need to hear that I can walk in. See, that's important, because see, if the devil try to get you and I on a guilt trip and say, well, you're not obeying like brother so-and-so, you're not obeying like sister so-and-so. So God's building my abode. He's building his relationship with me according to the gifts and the callings that he's placed in my life. And so I'm following him. I'm not following man. I'm not in a religion. So Saul couldn't understand this. So, but the only reason why we read these verses basically is I want you to look there at that middle part of verse 2, where it said he was looking for the people who were in this way. And this way is just a term of being a born again child of God, and you're walking with Jesus. Amen. You're walking in the Spirit. You're walking in love. You're walking in faith. You're walking and the demonstration and the power of this word in your life. Amen. All right. So let's get that in our heart and let's see some things. So first of all, as you're on this walk, as I'm on this walk, there's going to be times when God gives you a promise. He gives you a vision. He makes a revelation in your life of his will and his plan. And so we have to wait. And sometimes you have to wait because either you or I were not ready for it. As we were talking about this morning, how God prophesied to Adam before he gave Adam that helpmate. You know, you got to go through some things. You got to get in that place prepared to be able to receive. Or sometimes God is wanting to get it to you through somebody else. And they may not be willing. And so it's not that you're waiting on the Lord. You're waiting on God wanting to use that person because maybe you need that person in your life. Or maybe that person needs to be in your life. Amen. Whatever the case might be, it's going to be different in different situations. So let's look at some things I believe that will bless us and help us. Go with me here to the Old Testament and let's go to the book of Psalms and let's see an example. In Psalms 130, let's read verses 5 and 6 and then I want to back up. But Psalms 130, this is a... In the book of Psalms, you got 15 Psalms right here. Start out Psalms 130 to 130. What is it? 4. These are songs of degrees. These are meaning songs of elevation. These are songs that will cause you to progress every day in your life. You'll climb higher. So as you hear them, you're going to climb higher. These songs were actually read as they climbed up the temple steps, going to the temple, working their way to give their sacrifice to God. Understand what we're saying. So these will help you and I get to that place where we can offer a sacrifice of praise. We can have that intimacy with the Lord. But another sermon for another time. This is the 11th of those. But look what it says. The psalmist says, verse 5, I wait for the Lord. So as you may be waiting on the Lord to hear your prayer or to bring the promise or to bring the provision or to reveal the plan, you and I, we've got to be in that place where, wait a minute, God is perfect. God loves me with an everlasting love. God created me, and He said He created me. He created you for His pleasure. So there's a reason about this. So I'm not going to let the devil get me negative. I'm not going to let the devil get me discouraged. I'm not going to let him work on the flesh. I'm going to stay in the place of praise because I'm going to stay in the Spirit. Amen? So He said, I wait for the Lord. In other words, I don't wait on a sign. I don't wait on a feeling. I don't wait on anything, but I wait on the Lord. He told me and He brought me to this point in my life, and I heard His voice because He's my shepherd and I'm His sheep. And I come to this point, and if He led me to this point, He's going to lead me all the way. So I'm waiting on the Lord. This word wait, it means to bind together by twisting. In other words, you've got to twist your mind, will, and emotions, your soul around the Word of God. You've got to twist your whole life around that vine. You are the branch and you're coming out of the vine, but you need to twist your life around Him and hold on to Him. And figuratively, this word means that you have a great hope, expectation, because you're waiting on the one who can meet what you're waiting for. You done tried the world. I done tried the world. They can't meet it. Amen. But He can. So the psalmist says here, I wait on the Lord. My soul doeth wait. In His word do I hope. So here's what we've got to do. He says, I'm waiting on the Lord in my spirit. And I've got that settled. But now the psalmist comes back and he says, my soul doeth wait in His word. Remember what the Apostle Paul taught in Romans 12 and 2. You've got to have your mind renewed by the Word of God. Your mind is part of your soul. Your mind, will, and emotions make up your soul. So the psalmist here says, hey, so my emotions don't get me out of obedience. So my emotions don't get me out of the way. So my thinking doesn't get me out of obedience. My thinking doesn't get me out of the way. Just my understanding of everyday life, I'm going to make sure that my soul is waiting on the Lord by His Word. So the only thing, you're saved by the Word and you have to live by the Word. I'm saved by the Word. I have to live by the Word. So His words, Jesus said in John 6:63, He said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. So we have to have that word in our life. So here the psalmist is giving us a direct correlation of what you and I can do very easily now under the New Testament, under grace, because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that glorious? The Holy Spirit, He talks to you. He warms you. He comforts you. He wants to wipe away your tears. Amen. He wants to give you a confidence in this Jesus. So here's what the psalmist said. He said in verse 6, he said, "My soul waiteth for the Lord." Now, if you've got a King James Bible, I don't know, or if you've got a Bible app, whatever you're reading this out of, if you notice, waiteth there is in italics. So in case somebody doesn't know it, because nobody told me for years, it took me forever to figure it out. Anytime you see a word italics in the Bible, it's not in there. Okay? The translators added it. So what he says, "My soul, Lord." You know, and here it's Adonai. He says, "My soul, Adonai." What does it do? It's looking and it says, "More than they can watch for the morning." He said, "Lord, more than everybody I see that's trying to make it through the night, I'm looking to you." We've got to pull back from the previous verse. That's why the translators put it in there. We've got to see that I've got to hold on. Now, how many sit up with a sick kid? Come on, you sit up with a sick kid, it makes a long night. The kid is sick and everybody else may be asleep and it's just you and the child, you know, or some of the longest nights when Donna's in the hospital. Oh my gosh, I didn't think the morning would ever come. You know, it makes a long night and you're sitting there. And so this is what David is saying. He said, while I go through the night, he said, I make sure that I hold on to the word, because in the nighttime, that's when trouble comes, because everything's worse. You feel worse at night. The devil attacks your mind beside your body at night. And you get into all of these circumstances. So, and we got to make sure that we hold on to what God said. So if you're believing God for a promise, if you believe that God has spoke some things into your life, you got to hold on to it. So you're going to have to wait, but you're holding on to it in faith. "My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." I say, more than they that watch for the morning. So he double emphasis here. You know, in this time, they had watchmen out on the wall. What's so sad, America has lost her watchmen. You know, but he's called the church to be a watchman. We need to be watching and looking, and we need to be shouting from the very top of our lungs what's happening, where we're at. You know, we need to prepare for the coming of the Lord. We need to prepare to fulfill what God's called us to do and all of these things. But he said twice, emphasis here, you need to be in the place where you're waiting on the Lord. Don't let the world change you. Don't let the world diminish what God's promised. Don't let the world say, well, you know, God, He was able to save you, but He's not going to be able to bless you in this. He's not going to be able to deliver you from this. He's not going to be able to get this in your life. No, that's not true. We're waiting, and we're waiting for whatever reason it may be. Here, the psalmist is in a place, in a situation where, go back up to verse 1. He's in great distress. He says, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication." So I believe that there's somebody here tonight. You've been crying out to the Lord in the nighttime. You've been waiting on the Lord to see some things to come to pass, to see Him do what only He can do. The Spirit of God wants you to be encouraged. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep holding on and keep waiting. Twist yourself around that word. Twist your heart. Twist your mind around the word of God. Hold on to what God's promised you and remind yourself. Speak unto yourself. Don't let the devil talk to you. Speak to yourself. Speak the word of God. Say, no, my God said. My God promised. I saw this. I know this. This is real in my spirit. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm not going to let anything take it away from me or change it. It's mine. Amen. And so you keep working that over and over in your life, and it stays real to us. It's more real than the trial. It's more real than the trouble. It's more real than the struggle that we're dealing with, because we're holding on to it. Amen. Now notice what he said. He said, "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" Aren't you glad? See, when the devil comes and tries to condemn you, tell him, say, no, I'm in Christ Jesus. And if I'm in Christ Jesus, I'm walking by the Spirit. And those who walk in the Spirit, there's no condemnation, right? Now, therefore, there is no condemnation to them who walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. In other words, your hope's not in the flesh. Your confidence is not in the flesh. Your confidence is in Jesus. So tonight, when you lay down and here comes the devil and here comes all of his lying imps and they try to discourage you, say, nope, I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord because he has what? He doesn't mark my iniquities. See, we know Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15 talks about the great white throne judgment. Those iniquities are there. Those sins are there because they weren't forgiven. Come on, but say, I'm forgiven. So we need to live in that. We need to let that be the truth. See, if you always feel guilty, you can't receive from the Lord. If our heart, that's what the Bible says. First John, if your heart condemns you, then you cannot receive from the Word of God because you don't believe you're worthy. You don't believe that God will do it for you. So the devil loves to try to get you under condemnation. But if Jesus justifies you, who is the devil? He can't condemn you. Whom the Son sets free is glory. So we got to live like that. All right. So notice one more time. He said there in verse 6, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Now, why do you think that he's wanting to focus? Okay, I'm waiting on the Lord. But as I'm waiting on the Lord, I'm not going to get caught up in the darkness of this night, the darkness of this moment, the trial of what I'm feeling. I'm going to focus on the morning. So hold your place in Psalms and go to Lamentations. You know these verses very well. Let's look right after Jeremiah. Look at Lamentations chapter 3 and let's look at why he's talking about that and how it will help you tonight and tomorrow night and the next night when you're dealing with situations. Lamentations 3:21. Well, let's read 20. Lamentations 3:20. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me what he's seen God do. Verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. He's saying, I see what God's done, how God judges the enemy, how God will take care of the righteous. I see that, and it gives me hope. In other words, it enables me to wait. Because every place you see hope in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it is a connotation of waiting. Waiting with the Lord, not by yourself. See, the devil wants to get us alone in our mind, because if he can get me alone in my mind, he can defeat me. But you and I, we're not alone. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the age. So you got to hold on to that. So he said, verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Now, why is that? Verse 23, his mercies, the Lord's mercies, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So while you're waiting on the Lord and there's darkness all around, you're in the dark, but the dark can't get in you.
Right.
Come on, you're in the dark, but the dark can't get in you. And so the light is in you. And so the light of the truth of the Word of God is going to come out of you. And so you may be seeing darkness at this point in this stage, but you're one step away from the sunrise. You're one step away from the new mercies of the Lord. You're one step away from receiving everything that God's got for you in that abode. Amen. In that mansion. Don't let the devil steal it from you. Don't let him hold it back from you. Just wait, and as you're in step with the Lord, it'll be in the perfect season. Amen?
Amen?
I believe that, don't you? Let's read just a couple more. Look what he said. As he's waiting, look at his attitude. Jeremiah's attitude is, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope, I will wait in him. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. So remember, we're talking about your mind, will, and your emotions. You've got to tell the devil. You've got to say it out loud where you can hear your own voice. The Lord is my portion. The Lord. Not what the devil says.
Right.
Not what he says he's holding away from me. Not what he says I can never have.
Right.
God's promises are yes and
yes.
When we say amen to him, we're in that place where it's ours. We may be waiting, but it's ours. So when the devil starts saying, I see bankruptcy in your future. I see divorce in your future. I see sickness in your future. I see defeat in your future. The Lord's my portion. Devil, you're a liar. There is no truth in you. My mind is not going there. I'm wrapping my mind around by the newness, the renewing of the Word of God. Amen? And all of a sudden, that dark situation, I'm not being overwhelmed by. I'm overwhelming the darkness. I'm overcoming the darkness because the greater one is in me. The greater one is in you, in the church. Amen? So there we are. Notice what he said. Verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that what? That wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. So as I'm waiting on the Lord, the way I'm going to ensure the victory that the Lord has for me, my soul, my mind, has my emotions, my will has to keep going towards the Lord, towards this word. So get that in your heart. He's good to me. I'm going to wait on him. See, the devil wants us to take a shortcut and say, oh, here's the answer. Just come and step this way. But see, at the moment that you and I take a step one way or the other, we're out of the way. We're not being obedient. The moment we leave obedience, that's the moment we leave grace. And grace is how I'm saved. Amen. Grace is my surety of victory. So I'm not going to listen to that. So look what he said. He said, I need to seek him with my soul. So what I do is I say, in the name of Jesus, mind you be still. I plead the blood of Jesus. Holy Ghost, shut off my senses from the outside. Come up inside of my spirit. Let my spirit talk to my soul, my mind, will, and emotions. I want it renewed by the word of God. Here's what the devil's saying. Tell the Lord what the devil's saying. Tell him what your cares are, what your fears are. Cast them on the Lord. Tell him. And then as you tell him, then all of a sudden, he's going to tell you the truth. Amen. He's going to tell me the truth. And as he tells us the truth, then we're in that place where we're waiting the Lord. And as we're waiting on him, we're seeking him. He said he had good things for us. Yes. See, the good things can only come by the trial of faith. Not because God's a mean God, but because he's wanting you and I to learn how to trust him and not listen to the lies of the devil. Amen. He's wanting us to be purified. The trying of your faith is more precious than anything. Come on, it is. It's the most precious thing. God gave you that faith. And when that faith is tried, it becomes more and more pure. And as it becomes more and more pure, you start looking and living and loving. Oh, that's good. That's the Holy Ghost. Living, looking, and loving like Jesus. All right. Verse 26. It is good that a man should both hope, there's that word, should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. So the his mercies are new every morning and his joy comes in the morning. But I've got to be in that place, in that position, that I learn how to wait expectantly. Abraham, remember, we've talked about it so many times. God put him on that 25-year journey and he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And every time Abraham introduced himself, he said, I'm the father of many nations, right? He didn't even have Ishmael yet, right? But when Ishmael come, he's the father of one illegitimate, in the sense that that wasn't supposed to be the chosen. Isaac is the chosen child, but he was in that place where he kept prophetically saying who he was. How many times have you prophetically said what the devil said? So what we got to do is we got to, Lord, if I'm in a place right now because of what the devil has spoke in my life, and then I accepted it, and then I spoke it out, show it to me. Help me repent of it, cover it in the blood, and then help me replace it with thus saith the Lord. And when you replace it, then you have what the word says, what Jesus has for you in that abode, in the way, rather than what the devil has outside of the blessing of God. Amen? All right, so we learn how to wait in the way in obedience. Now, let's talk about wandering. Go with me to Psalms 56. I won't go back to Psalms 130. In Psalms 56, look at verse 8. Psalms 56, 8. Now, you need to really hear by the Spirit. Don't listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say for you, because this is prophetic for somebody here tonight. Verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Now, mark it down in your Bible. Highlight it in your Bible app. Thou tellest my wanderings, my exile. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? So, here's what the psalmist is saying. Here's what David's saying. David said, I know you know when I've wandered out of your will. Here come the devil. Here come the pressure. Here come the trouble as I was waiting on you. And instead of me being in that place of expectancy, I went through the trial and I wandered away. I become an exile. See, the moment that God gives us a word, and that word is we're supposed to be waiting on it. If we lose sight of it, if we lose vision of it, and we accept another word from the devil, then we wander away from the Lord and His will. And then when we do that, we're in a place where we're exiled. We're in a place where God loves us. He wants His best for us. But see, He's pouring His blessing out here, and I'm over here. He's pouring out His revelation here, but I'm over here. He's pouring out His will over here, but I'm over here. So I've wandered away. And so David said, I know that you know all about my wanderings and you know about all my tears. Now, doesn't this give you just a little insight about your Father tonight, even if it is the Old Testament concealed? Because living in the New Testament revealed, you and I can see what He's really saying. When you cry a tear, they're bottled up. That's why when we get in the book of Revelation, when God wipes away every tear, He's going to open up the bottle. And when He opens up the bottle, on the screen will be the thing that caused the tear. And that's when the true healing of the nations comes to pass. Jesus, He brings complete healing to us. And that tear, not only does the tear wiped away, but the root cause. That's the love that God has for you. Amen. And you know, they in Greek and Roman culture, they still do this to this day. You can go dig up old graves as they do excavations and so forth and check out history through the layers of the soil. And there'll be bottles in there. And those bottles were in there because they had the tears of the family when they died. So this is everything that man does copies it from God's word. Amen. But here's what I want you to see. Jump back up and let's start at verse 1. Here David is in a place. This psalm is taking place because God anointed him to be king. And as He anointed him to be king, guess what? Saul is still king. All right? So you say, well, how does that apply to me tonight? Well, you are to rule and reign in Jesus. And so Jesus is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. But in the book of Revelation, it says that you are kings and priests unto your God. So you are to rule and reign. And so you have an anointing, just like David was. He was anointed three times. Jesus was anointed three times. And so that's an Old Testament type and a shadow. But as He was anointed, there was something that was blocking Him from the throne. Well, now, because of grace, you and I, we have access to the throne. We come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. Amen. So we've got to get in this New Testament revelation, and we've got to be in that place. So we're looking at the old to help us to better understand what we have in the new. So here David was. He was supposed to be king. Saul is blocking him from that. And instead of him staying in that place in the position, he goes to Gath. Gath means wine press. See, when you get out of God's best, then the devil can press you. He can put pressure on you. He can get you to make one bad decision after the next, and each one gets easier, and each one gets quicker. It's like the snowball rolling down the hill effect. It gets faster and faster. So here he is. Now, you remember David, he went and it ended up in Gath. What did the king give him? He gave him a city. The city was called Ziklag. Remember, he lost everything. Everybody there, they lost all their wives. They lost all their children. They lost all their gold. They lost all their silver. They lost everything they had in Ziklag. But God's grace was David recovered it all because he learned how to worship the Lord. But he didn't have to have a Ziklag. See, when we wander away from God's best, that's when we have to go through other things that God doesn't. It wasn't planned for David to do that. And some of the things that I went through in my whole life, I'm not talking about you now, I'm talking about me. I caused it. Because either misunderstanding, disobedience, or just flat out sometimes rebellion. So hold that in your heart as we read this. Verse 1, David says, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He is fighting daily, oppressing me, oppresseth me. So every time that you're walking in the way, see, Jesus said that his way was the straight way, right? That word straight means to be narrow from obstacles all around. What are those obstacles? Evil spirits, lies, visions of the enemy, plans of the enemy, work of the devil, trying to keep you and I from fitting through there. But it'll never be narrower than what you and I can accomplish successfully. We can navigate successfully through that because each time you go through one, it's for my betterment. I get something out of my life. I'm pruned and purged by the word in this walk. And I start looking and being and living more like Jesus. Amen. So it's a good thing. The devil wants it to be a bad thing, but it's a good thing. All right. So here David is, and he's in that place, and he said, be merciful unto me. He said, they're oppressing me on every side. And he said, I understand from verse 8. Remember, I understand it's from my wanderings. So tonight, there may be some things that you're going through that you need to ask the Lord. Show me where I wandered away from your will. There's a acceptable will. There's a good will and there's a perfect will, right? So in the perfect will, that's what we're striving to get. But in the perfect will, the devil can't hinder you and I. In the good will, it's better, but there's still some hindrances. But in that acceptable will, we're going to have to do some heavy praying, some heavy struggling that we wouldn't normally have to do if we would just what? Step up higher. The psalm of degrees, the psalm of elevations, this progression in this life. And so here David is. And he said, they fight me daily and they oppress me. So any area in your life that you're not feeling the freedom, the liberty, the victory that you know that Jesus died to give you. See, you know, we talk about it many times. The Apostle Paul said that you were not just a conqueror, but you were more than. Remember, Hooper Nicano. He had the Holy Ghost made a whole new word. Just for who you were. Come on. See, Paul is walking in Revelation and he's looking and he's looking at the body of Christ and he's seeing them through the eyes of God in that perfect will, climbing up higher and higher. And he said, you are more than a conqueror. You are, in other words, more than a conqueror means you're able to go back in the devil's camp and bring back. That's what David ultimately did at Ziklag. But so tonight, if you're in a place where you're feeling this oppression, ask the Lord, Lord, show me where I can come by the word into that perfect will and I can get out of this oppressive state and I can get in the place of what you would have for me, this place of being a Hooper Nicano, a more than a conqueror. Amen. Now, notice. He said, and this is the way somebody feels here tonight about a situation. I don't know what it is. Verse 2, my enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. So here's what's David doing. He's casting his cares upon the Lord. He's saying, this is happening, and that's happening. I'm seeing this, I'm feeling this. But what does he do? He says, O most high. He's still keeping the Lord in his proper place. The Lord is above the problem. The Lord is above the oppression, above all the works that he's trying to show you and I. If we keep the Lord in that proper perspective, you'll never be defeated. You're still going to go through things, but you're not going to be defeated. Amen? All right. Now, how many's got the full psalm at the top of your Bible there where it tells you who the psalm was written to? See, it says to the chief musician there at the top of Psalms 56, and Jonathan Elrekiakim. All right. I find that so interesting because that name, that's a name, and it means dove of silence. Dove of silence. Now, somebody needs to hear this tonight. You're in a place where you say, I'm not hearing from the Lord. See, David, that's what happened to David. That's why this psalm was written. He had heard from the Lord and he had wandered away from what God said. And now he's in a place where it seems like the Holy Ghost is silent. The Holy Ghost is not silent. He's just talking where David's not. Amen. So if you're in a place and you can't figure out somebody's here tonight, you need to make a decision about something. And so to be able to make that decision, don't make it out of what you're feeling or what you're seeing or yes, what the ceiling is above you, because there is no ceiling above you when you're looking into Jesus. He is that open door. Let him tell you where you need to go. Let him make that decision for you. Amen. That's important now. Because in him, you'll never make a wrong decision. I believe that, don't you? All right. So I encourage you, go ahead and read and see what all David was going through here. But let's go back and let's reread verses 8 and 9. He said, "Thou tellest my wanderings, my exile." And this word is, when he said, "Thou put my tears into a bottle, are they not in that book?" He said, "I know that you've seen my wanderings." In other words, David said, "I've wandered away from your will, your perfect will." But this is a play on words. This word also in the Hebrew, it means to nod the head from grief. So he wandered away from the will of the Lord, and his head is wavering, wandering because of the grief that he's feeling. How many, you know, when we've got to make decisions in our mind, when our mind, we're wavering back and forth. James said that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And when you're wavering, you can't receive anything from the Lord. So first thing we've got to do is settle that. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, "God, I know I've wandered. I know that it caused me a lot of tears, but I know those tears are bottled up. And I know that if you've got them, then you can take the tears and you can make it right." Now, come on, help me, work with me now. This is, it may not be for you, but this is for somebody, and this is really important. Verse 9, David said, "When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back." Come on, when your confidence is in the Lord, amen? So what do? Take that enemy that you're dealing with, that's in the night, that's trying to oppress you, that enemy that's trying to hold you back, that's trying to destroy your hope, your confidence, while you're waiting on the Lord, don't wander from what God has promised. You start talking about, crying to the Lord and say, "Lord, you said, Lord, you promised, Lord, you're with me, Lord, you love me. Lord, you have something better for me. And I want what you want. I don't have to have what I pictured in my mind. I want what you have done, God, in that abode, in that abiding place." Amen. And when you start doing that, guess what? You're crying unto him. And look what he promised. He said, "When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." If God be for you, nobody. So let the Lord turn the enemies back. In other words, the word of God. Use the word against the devil. Amen? The word is your assurity of success. The word is where you can never, ever, ever have to fail. Amen? So while we're walking in the way, the first W, we have to wait. And as we're waiting, we got to wait in obedience. The second W is we got to make sure that we don't wander away from what God said, what he's promised. Because in this situation of what God's promised is a work that you can do, that I can do, that nobody else can do.
Amen.
He's got a work for you, Brother Zach. Nobody else can touch it. You have to believe that. You have to anticipate that. That has to be the reason for living. God, I was created for this moment of time. I was created to do the works of the Lord. Not just the works, but greater works. Amen? All right, so let's go quickly. Go with me to the book of Revelation, and let's look at just a couple things, then we'll go to the book of Titus, and I'll close. But I want you to see something. Over and over, look what Jesus says to the churches. Revelation 2 and 1. It says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he which holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." Aren't you glad that Jesus is walking in the middle of us right now? I mean, he's here right now. Now look what he says. This is why we came here. Verse 2. We got to be obedient in our works as we're walking in the way. Jesus said, "I know thy works." Jesus said, "I know your works. I know your works." So that may scare the world, but that warms our heart. Because if my work isn't perfect before the Lord, He can give me a word that will correct it. He'll give me a word that will edify it. He'll give me a word of fire that will cause the dross to be burnt out of my life, and I'll start looking, loving, and living like Jesus. Amen? Look what he says. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. So we could go on, but we won't. I just want you to see that Jesus knows everything that you're doing. Because some of you here, you're in a battle. You're going, I'm struggling in what I think the Lord wants me to do. Well, if God called you to do it, He's going to give you the anointing to fulfill it. Amen. And if you submit to Him, He's going to give you the strength. He's going to give you the wisdom, and He's going to give you the favor to be able to accomplish it. Don't let the devil put limitations on it. Amen? For with God, all things are... You know what that word possible is? That's dunamis. That's a miracle. God can work any miracle in your life to make the impossible possible. Amen? All right, drop down to verse... 5, is he's talking to this church. It's got some problems, but he said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. So if you make a mistake, if I make a mistake, all we got to do is repent. Say, Lord, I'm coming back. I got off track here. Maybe I didn't wait in faith in the way. Maybe I wandered from the way. Maybe my work has got twisted just a little bit, but since you love me enough to tell me the truth, I'm going to repent. That's all we got to do. And he said, do the first works over. In other words, Lord, you're the Lord. I'm coming. You're my Savior. You're my hope. You're my all in all. I have nothing without you. I don't want anything without you. You're my destiny. Amen. And so when you have that attitude, guess what? The work that you were destined to do is just going to start coming out of your life. It's just as your hand is an extension of your arm and your fingers are an extension of your hand. Come on, the work of the Lord will be an extension of your salvation. And just as easy as it is for you to make a fist, as easy it is to do whatever you do with your hand and your fingers, come on, you don't have to think about it. It just, come on, it's built into you. It's your nature. That's what, you've got the nature of God. Don't stop what you're doing. Amen. Stay in the perfect will of the Lord. Okay, quickly. Drop down and look what it says in verse 13. This is the church at Smyrna. He said, I know thy works. There you again. In tribulation and poverty. And we could keep reading, but we won't. But I just want you to see he knows it. Now drop down to verse 13. Once again, he said, I know thy works. So God knows everything about it. So you don't have to worry about, you know, if we're not careful, we try to dress things up. Or what we can't dress up, we try to hide. We should love each other enough to accept each other the way we are. Because Jesus does. And see, that way we're in a place where everything's out in the open. There's no harm. There's just honesty. There's just purity because God knows it. We know it. We know that we love each other. We know that God loves us. We're going to do what God called us to do. Amen. All right. Keep going. Let's see. Verse 13. Yeah. Okay. Down to verse 19. He said, I know thy works and thy charity, your love, your service and your faith. And he keeps going. I know thy works. So get that in your heart. Verse 23, look at the last part of the verse. He said, I will give to every one of you according to your works. According to your works. Okay, now this is so important. We've got to be obedient in what God called us to do. Because see, it's so funny to me. The book in Genesis chapter 8, it says that God said there's going to be a law, and that law is seed time and harvest. And he said every seed had the ability to reproduce in itself. And we, if we're not careful, we just look at that in nature. But no, that's a spiritual law. And so many people, they want certain things from God, but they want him to give them a perverted seed. If you want something from God, see, God wanted us to be saved, so he sowed a Savior in our life. So what you want, that's what you need to sow. So the works that God's called you to, he said, what will I do? I will give unto every one of you according to your works. So what you're sowing, that's what you're going to reap. See, the devil wants to tell you, oh, you better not do that. You're going to need that later. No, I just sowed a seed. And it's not in earth. It's in heaven. And what I've sowed, my God is going to cause it to bountifully reproduce, and it's going to come back. Cast your bread upon water, and it shall what? Come back to you after that bread. That's Jesus. That's cast upon waters, and it will come back to you in many days. In what? In blessing. In fullness, in fruition. Okay. Drop down and look what it says in verse 26. And he that overcometh, he or she, no gender intended, he or she that overcometh and keepeth my, mark it down, verse 26, my works, unto them I will give power over the nations. See, what you and I are doing today, and if you can't receive this, just lay it on the shelf, it's going to determine what you do in the millennium. You and I, we're going to get to rule and reign with Jesus in the millennium, and we're going to have certain opportunities. But what you do today is going to determine your level there. Right. So we want to be obedient in the work of the Lord. We want to be obedient to the work of the Lord where we can accomplish what He told us to accomplish. Amen? Okay. All right, go to Titus. Not everybody's hungry as I am. Look at Titus 1, and let's read verses 15 and 16. Here, Titus is you know, we just went through Titus on Wednesday nights, but here Titus is in a place, in a position where Paul is writing to him to give him instruction to how to help people not get led astray by religion. And so look what he says in verse 15. Under the pure, all things are pure, but under them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. In other words, they're not white anymore. The robe of righteousness, that white robe of righteousness has been changed because they have left grace and they've come back under a type of Judaism, the law, Judaizers. Verse 16, here's why we came here. They profess that they know God. Now mark this down in your Bible where you'll have it. They profess, they make a covenant. They say, I've got a covenant with God, but in works, they deny, they contradict him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work. They are a reprobate. So you and I, we have to be obedient in our waiting. We have to be obedient, make sure we don't wander. But we've got to be obedient in the work that God called us to. And so the devil's going to try to give you a different word to try to get you off track, to try to get me off track. That's what Paul is dealing here with Titus. It was a different word that took him away from grace. Well, by grace, you and I, we can serve the Lord in liberty and freedom. By grace, we can do the very works that Jesus did, but even greater. But we've got to be in that place where we recognize that our profession, will be in perfect alignment with what we're doing. If we're hearing the word, we're living by the word, we're hearing it and we're speaking it, then that word is going to set you in a place of being able to do the works of the Lord. You're not saved by works. We're talking about just serving a Jesus because he served us. All right, turn over to chapter 2. And we'll close with these verses right here. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. How many has received that grace tonight? Yes. Come on, you're saved. You're born again because God loved you so much that he gave you a grace that was sufficient, a grace that was enough, and you put your faith in that grace. And so salvation is yours. Verse 12, what does grace do? Look what it does. Teaching us. Come on, the grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, you know, have a sound mind. We should live righteously, live according to the word. We should live godly in this present age, eon, this present time, this moment. We've got to live by that. And if we're living in that, look what happens. It shows what we're looking for. Verse 13, looking for, anticipating, waiting for the blessed hope, for the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So part of your work and my work is to be in that place where we keep living by grace. We keep professing Jesus, but we're letting the world know that we're looking for Jesus to come back. That our hope is not in this world. My hope is not in my bank account. My hope is not in who I know and what I possess in this earth. My hope is in that resurrected Savior, that Lord of Lords, that King of Kings. Amen. That Lamb, that blood washed human eye. Amen. And look what happens. Verse 14, who gave himself for us, this Lord and Savior, we need to be obedient to him because he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from some iniquity. Iniquity, remember, just means lawlessness. But you and I, we're not under law, but we're under the love law. The law of love, the law of grace, amen? So, we got to be in that place that I'm redeemed from everything that would take me away from love. I got to love my neighbor as myself, or I'm impeding the progress on this way. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Notice this. And purify unto himself a peculiar, we talked about this morning, a special people. And what does God's people do? They are zealous. Zealous of good works. In other words, zealous. Your heart's on fire. You're burning in your spirit to do something for Jesus. Maybe it's put your arm around somebody. Maybe it's to shake their hand. Maybe it's to give them an encouraging word. Maybe whatever it might be. That's between you and the Lord. Amen. But you're zealous. You can't wait. You're in that place where you're anticipating. God, how can I do something for you now? You've done everything for me. You caused me to be born again. You caused me to be healed, spirit, soul, and body. You've gave me your word by your spirit, not by man, but by your spirit that teaches me all truth and the truth makes me free. Come on, all of these things. And you're just so anticipating. God, I'm ready. I'm hungry. I'm wanting. I'm on fire. I want to do something. I want to take this goodness and this greatness of your revelation of who exactly you are in my life. I want to give it to somebody else. Yes, we get to do that.
Right.
Brother Green, we get to do that. You're wearing yellow tonight. Yellow means the friend of God. That's what the color means. Amen? Come on. Jesus said that you were his friend.
Can I say something before you close our prayer meeting?
Yes. But can I finish this first? I'm almost done.
Go ahead.
So I want you to close with this thought. Tonight, you're in a place and in a position where all you are doing is walking with Jesus. He'll never let go of your hand. He'll never let go of my hand. If I don't let go of his, he's going to hold my hand. So as he holds my hand, he's showing me, he said, this is how I walked through the deepest hurt of my life. When my brothers and my sisters, when they didn't understand me, and they told me, won't you go on up to Jerusalem and be crucified? He said, that hurt me. Come on, he felt just like you feel. He said, let me show you how I walked through with my family. They didn't appreciate me. They didn't know what I was going through. They didn't know why I was making decisions I was making. They didn't understand me. They rejected. But he said, let me show you how I can hold your hand. I can take you right through that. When the whole world is rejecting Jesus, you're dealing with one rejection. Remember, this is how fickle the world is. Jesus walks into Jerusalem, rides in on that donkey, I better say. Come on. And what are they doing? Oh, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. A week later, crucifying, crucifying, crucifying. That's how fast the world will turn on you. I've had people look me in the eyes and say, oh, Brother Greg, I'll be with you forever. I ain't seen them in years. You can't depend upon man. But you can depend upon Jesus. Amen. So let him talk to you while you're walking this way. Let him start wiping away those tears. Come on. Let him start bringing. This is how you learn how to wait, how you will not wander, and how you will be perfected in the work that he called you to do. Amen. Last verse, and we'll close, and we'll let Brother Green tell us. Verse 15. The Apostle Paul says to Titus, and he says it to you and I, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. You stand up in who you are in Jesus. Amen? You tell the people, I'm walking with Jesus. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. I'm walking with Jesus. If he'll make you understand why I'm doing what I'm doing, why I'm saying what I'm saying, where I'm going, and if you'll just listen. Amen? And then we'll have this perfect harmony. We'll have this perfect unity that will be a light for the living Lord. Amen? Let me pray, and then Brother Green's got something to say. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. I thank you for your mercy and your love. I thank you, Lord, that you're here tonight to minister to at least one person. Lord, I believe that they're one step away from giving up on some things. They're one step away from making a bad decision. But you said no. You said no. I want you to reveal your love to them through the word that I give you tonight as their pastor, as their under shepherd under me. And so in Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that you're here to bring encouragement. You're here to bring strength. And so as you draw us, we will yield to you. Hallelujah.